Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Lord, we give this atmosphere to you, Lord God, and we pray that you will speak to hearts today, Lord. Father, I pray that you do something in each and every one of us, Lord, that there's a shift, that there's a change, that something sparked, that there's a life released on the inside, Lord, that you take each and every one of us to a new place. Lord, we believe and we know that you have something great for us in 2018, and I pray that this word today, Lord God, would shift something and ignite something. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. You can be seated. Most people are sitting down anyway. Is anybody who's enjoying this cutting edge series that we've started? For those that was absent last week, naughty, naughty. Well, we have started a series, a cutting edge series, powerful. Pastor Paul set it off with the sharpening, the axe. And today we're going to be continuing. And the title of the message today is Take Action. And there's a subtitle, which is Boundaries and Guidelines. If you do have anything to take notes with today, I would say take notes, because I do believe that there's going to be some pointers that are going to be mentioned that are going to really help you in regards to taking hold of what God has for you in 2018. 2017, I believe it was a real season of God expanding our vision. We had prophetic words released over the church, and one was that we would experience the no eye is seen, the no ear is heard. And I believe that in 2018, we're now moving on to actually taking hold of some of the things that God has for us. But it's gonna take us positioning ourselves and putting some things in place. I'd like to take this opportunity just to make a special acknowledgement of Sister Vicky's mother in the house, Doreen, Sister Doreen. So I would just, if we could just acknowledge her, welcome. Yeah, also as well, just a quick plug. Next Sunday at 7 o'clock, there's going to be an event called Good Vibes Only. And if you are a singer, a rapper, if you're into drama, you want to do a skit, or, you know, if you are somebody who says I'm a comedian and, you know, I want to do a little bit of a comedy sketch, then get in contact with me after the service. I would like you to get involved in that. Good Vibes Only. It's going to be a great vibe. God's going to do an amazing thing there also. So anyway, taking action. If you've got your Bibles with you, if I can ask you to please turn to Genesis 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 4 to 5. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be appearing on the screen, hopefully. And this is what it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Look to your neighbor and say, till the ground. Look to the other neighbor and say, till the ground. Praise God. Till the ground. When I was really praying to God about what to speak about, what portion of scripture to look at things from in regards to taking action, I was brought to this. God has been bringing me to Genesis for quite a long time now, and it's been really helping in me setting the viewpoint for the rest of scripture. And this scripture is a very interesting scripture, because it talks about God having the idea of wanting to cause growth. God wanting to cause growth. And I believe that in our lives, God doesn't call us just to enter in through the door and say, okay, I'm saved. I've given my life to God. I've repented from the way I was living, and that's it now. I'm just kind of waiting on heaven. I don't believe that's the plan that God has for us. I believe that God wants to expand us. I believe that God wants us to be fruitful. I believe that he wants to start things in our lives that's not started yet. I believe that God wants to take us to a place that we've not seen yet, take us to a place that we've not experienced yet. I believe that's why it says that God came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us life and life Wake up. Come on now. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with just having just life. I'm going to be honest about that. Life is, just life is good when you just get saved. When you just get saved, you're like, praise God for grace. Come on now. I just got through. I understand that I was living that sinful life. And now what a grace I have in Jesus Christ, that the thing that he did is now benefiting me. I can't believe it. This grace is great. But then I believe you come to a time when it's like, I'm ready for the life more abundant now. I know I'm saved. I'm thankful for the grace, but I'm ready for the life. Is there anybody who's ready for the life more abundant in this place? You have to step into the life more abundant. And the interesting thing about the scripture is God is saying that he wants to bring about increase, but there was two things that weren't in place why he wasn't doing that. The first one was an obvious one, because it had not rained yet. So if you sow a seed in the ground and it's not rained, then obviously don't expect growth. But the second one is not so obvious. He said that there was no man to till. I'm checking you. Come on now. There was no man to till. No man to till the ground. Talking about us humans. So I believe that God wants to bring about increase in our lives, but there's some things that we need to put in place. I want to share a quote. It's by a man called Les Brown. And it says, life is a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you want, what you didn't want will automatically take over. Shando. Life is a fight for territory. And what you didn't want, if you stop fighting, is just going to automatically take over. I think that's a great vision of how life is, because I believe that sometimes we think if we're not putting in effort, we think that we stay at the same place. We don't. You actually go back. Not moving forward is actually falling into a place of defeat. You never stay just stationary. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. And I believe that God wants every single person in this place to move forward. You see, the children of Israel, they were ready to take possession of the promised land. And the promised land, for me, is once again representative of the life more abundant. Not just the life, but the life more abundant. You see, now when God spoke to him, he said that he was giving him the land. He actually said he gave it to him. But when they went to the land, there was actually giants in there. And they had to actually go in and fight. So what does that tell you? It tells you that God has great things for you, but it's going to take you applying some effort. And I want to ask you this afternoon, if there's areas in your life that you've not been seeing increase, if there's areas in your life that you've not been seeing growth, this could be anything. This could be in your ministry. This could be in your business. This could be in your marriage. This could be in your parenting. This could be in your even just in the way you see and view yourself. This could be personal. It could be anything. But my question is, if you've not been seeing growth in that area, could it be that you've not given yourself strict guidelines and boundaries? Could it be that you've not taken certain action on that subject that you're supposed to take? Could it be that you're like the majority of Christians that think that just going to the prayer closet is enough? If you believe that just going to the prayer closet is enough, I'm bursting your bubble today. Got the big pin out. Pop, 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 pop. I see a few people like, whoa, he bursted my bubble, bro. I'm bursting it. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is great. That's why I'm excited about this month, because I know that when we pray, something is going to be released. However, to actually take hold of the thing that you're praying about, it's going to take some effort. You're not just going to pray and it's just going to pop up out of nowhere. It's going to take effort. And today I want to leave you with some pointers which I believe are really going to equip you for 2018 in regards to taking hold of what it is that God has for you. But let's please turn to Joshua 1, verse 1 to 3. He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that which is in according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So praise God. We know that the children of Israel was given the word by God saying, look, go and take possession. Go and take possession. Go over. Go over. It's time for you to go and make this move. Moses was doing his thing, but right about now, it's your time, Joshua. I'm calling you. And the first thing he did is he gave Joshua vision. The first point that I want to make today, if you're going to be successful in really taking hold of what it is that God has for you, it's going to take you having a vision. I love what Pastor Sonny said the last time he was here, because he talks about the fact that as a ministry, we have a corporate vision, but he always said it's important for you to have your personal vision. Your personal vision. What is the personal vision that you have for your life? You see, when people don't have vision, they find themselves just drifting along. You just drift into anything if you don't have a vision. You see, a boat can be effective depending on its coordinates. Can somebody say amen? If you've got a boat and the boat has no crew and the boat has no map or GPS, it must have like a GPS system now. I'm sure they're not working with maps anymore. But if it's got no GPS system and it's got no crew and you release that boat on the sea, that boat is going to find itself probably shipwrecked. However, you could give that boat a crew. You could give that boat all the greatest equipment, and you could not necessarily put somebody on the boat to man the boat and take it to a specific destination. It's still not ready to hit the target. If that's not good for a boat, why is it good for our lives? Why is it that so many people live their life not having a definite direction in which they are going? And I want that today, if you're a person who doesn't have a vision for your life, that you walk out of here saying, I need to get on my knees and seek God's face to find out the vision that he has for me. Because God has a vision for each and every one of you. I remember when I started my business, just before I started, I was really thinking about the things that God had given me in terms of my skill sets. You know, I had the opportunity to finish university with a degree in counseling and therapeutic studies. And I had a passion, or you can cheer if you want, I heard one somewhere. Praise the Lord. And there was I had a passion for music, this passion for music. And, you know, I would do music, but I didn't want to really be on the music scene, but I had a passion for it. So it was a bit of a confusing experience. And I came to a place where I was in my house making tracks, and then I got vexed. I was like, Lord, I ain't doing this no more. Like, I'm a grown man making beats. What's this about? I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time to be sitting in my room making beats. I packed up my stuff and said, Lord, I'm not doing it. Until you tell me why you've given me this passion, I'm not making no more beats. Forget about that. There's got to be something more for me. But then one day, somebody say one day. Just like that. Somebody say just like that. Come on now. There came a time, has anyone had that experience when God will just wake you up out of your bed? If that's you, just raise your hand if you've experienced that. Come on now, I see some hands raising. God will just wake you up, it's such a great experience. And God just starts speaking. And what I love about it is God just seems to be halfway through the conversation. Like, you know, he's not even at the start, he's like midway in, like, download it. I was like, woke up, Lord was just speaking to me in regards to this. And he was saying, look, listen, he gave me a vision for my company. That it would utilize music, media, and the arts, and also I would use it to counsel and to mentor. And now, praise God, the business is in schools, the business is in colleges, the business is in universities. God has opened up doors. But the reality of what it was is I took the time out to get that vision. I was actually doing a 40-day fast. This was a personal fast. This wasn't in like 21 days, you know, like corporate. Oh, we're doing 21 days of fasting. No, this was me saying 40 days. That's what I'm doing. Why am I doing this is because I need clarity on certain things in my life. My question for you is, how much time have you scheduled in your schedule to get a vision for your life? How much time have you scheduled? I find myself getting up usually between, I'm not saying that everyone has to do this, but this is what works for me. 3 a.m., 4 a.m. every single day, except for the weekends. But the reason why I do that is because I've come to find that when it gets to 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, the demands of life are way too heavy for me to be spending that quality time with the Lord, finding out what he's saying, and putting my strategy in place. I can't do it because I wake up and there's WhatsApps, there's emails, there's Gmail, Ymail, just different mail. I wake up and it's stacked up. Sometimes I'm like, oh my Lord. You know when you get to the point where you don't even read them no more? You just like go into the group and then out of the group. So then the number's not there no more. You know that one, right? Don't do it. It's naughty. But I experienced that. So I said to myself, I needed to get into a position where I can hear from God. And I want to ask you, how much time do you take in your schedule daily to hear from God? Because if you do not have the vision for your life, then you don't have your direction. And when you don't have your direction, you're not able to be sure about what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want. So vision is the first point. The second one is you need to be able to make a decision. You know, there's a lot of people in life who don't want to make a decision, especially when it comes down to something that holds weight. Something that holds weight, we like to sidestep it. Any sidesteppers in the building? I used to be the king at sidestepping. You can bring something to me, but somehow I'm going to make it that I'm not having to commit to actually doing this thing one way or the other. I'm not going to make a decision on it. But I came to learn that sidestepping doesn't necessarily work all the time. For example, don't try sidestepping your bills. Don't try it. It needs a definite choice. You need to put a plan in place and deal with it. Because something like bills will compound over time. Do you know about compounding? I'm talking about it goes away mediocre and comes back great. Compounding. So it needs a definite decision. And when it comes down to your vision, you have to put in a definite decision. There has to come a time when you're looking at the thing and you're assessing it and you're saying to yourself that, you know what? I'm actually going to do this. There's times when I speak to people and I come to find that the vision that they have for their life is still just like a daydream. And one thing that one of my pet hates is when I speak to people and they're getting like overexcited at the possibility and there's no action. Like they speak about it as though they're actually living it now. Like the dream is, just talking about the dream is like good enough. Like I've done it, I've arrived. You ain't arrived yet. You have not arrived yet. Talking about the vision is great, but you have to make a decision. When I knew when I'd made the decision and when I was living it is when people would speak to me and say, what is it that you do? And I would introduce it in the conversation as something that was a part of my life. For example, I'm a minister in the church, I'm a preacher, I'm a business owner, I'm a father, I'm a husband, etc., etc. When I started to recognize that I was doing that, I knew now I was taking ownership. I knew now I had moved into the place where I was actually making the decision to live this thing out. And you have to be somebody who's able to actually make that decision. If you're a person who is just kind of like theoretical and it's like you're speaking third person about the thing, you've not yet made the decision. You've pondered the idea and you have to move away from that if you're going to be successful. The third thing is you need to be able to calculate the cost. Calculate the cost. Every single vision that God gives you, everything that, every desire relays on your heart, there is a cost to it. If you're a person who thinks that it's just going to come easy, the thing's not going to come easy. There's always a cost. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you finance. It's going to cost you time. See how I said it twice? It's going to cost you one way or the other. I came to realize this when I started to look at my schedule for 2018, and I was saying, wow, I have got to wake up at that time now. It went away from doing it to just like set myself some boundaries to I have to now to achieve what it is that I need to do. It's not going to be possible to do it any other way. So you have to calculate the cost. You see, I put some things in place to help me when calculating the cost to push through. Because I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that, for example, I don't like jogging. There's two things in life that I don't like. I don't like cold weather, and I do not like jogging. Trust me, when I turn up at church sometimes, people are laughing because I look like I'm wrapped up for like Russia or Serbia. I'm like looking like I'm ready. I could like hang out with the Eskimos and feel nothing. I do not like the cold. I don't like it. And another thing is like, I just do not like jogging. I'm one of them guys, like if I'm delayed, I'm running behind time, I'm gonna have an inward battle with running. I'm gonna be like, I look at the time and I know it's late. I know it's late. But when it comes down to actually physically jogging, I'm just looking at it. It's not gonna happen. I'm actually getting more later now. But running is not going to happen. I'm one of those people. But you know what I did? At the gym, I started jogging. I started to run at the gym. And let me tell you, it was hard. One of the hardest things I did. I actually don't like jogging. But I do it several times a week now. Do you know why I do it? To push through. You've got to have that push-through mentality. If you don't have that push-through mentality, then you will not survive. Your vision will die. It's that simple. You've got to be able to push through. You've got to be able to calculate the cost, and you've got to be able to deliver what cost is required. That's what it takes. So I said, I need to develop this area of my life which was lacking. The point after that is you need to be able to set goals. Goal setting. This is practical stuff today, man. I told you guys, get your notebook out. You need to be able to set effective goals. If you want to get to where it is that God is taking you, if you want to get to the place where that vision that God has for your life, you need to be able to set goals, because the vision that God has for you is like way over here. And when he gives you the vision, you're like way over here. You see, that's why Joseph had to go through the process that he went through. God gave him the vision from the start for his life. You know, people, you know, hold him at great esteem. But then the next thing you know, he was in jail. Next thing you know, he was sold into slavery. Then he found himself in jail. He had certain allegations. The reason why that happened is he went through a process. He was going from here over to here, and he made some right decisions. You know he made right decisions, because when he was in the prison, he was actually still interpreting dreams. I don't know about you. I would have been vexed. I'd have been like, forget your dreams, bro. I'm in jail. You know what I mean? His character was solid. Fortitude of character for him to be in jail still interpreting dreams. I'm like, forget that. I'm waiting for my sentence to be over. Then I'll tell you about your dreams later. He's in there. I can just imagine if he's interpreting dreams, he must have had some bubble about him. Yeah, bro, tell me, what's your dream, bro? Guy's still like ecstatic in the jail system. Character. You see, the thing for God to take you from here, to take you to where your vision is going to build certain things in your life, because you don't have the resource yet that you're going to need for the vision. You don't have the emotional maturity that you're going to need for the mission. You don't have the intellectual maturity that you're going to need for the mission. For that vision that God has for you, it's going to take you to develop mentally, emotionally, socially. You're going to have to develop in all these areas, and it's going to be by going through the journey that's going to happen. But the thing is God doesn't want you to just sit down like, okay, one day it's going to happen. He wants you to set goals. So if where God is taking you is here, and you're way over here, you've got to go to the vision, and then you've got to work your way backwards. And you've got to say, okay, for example, if it's going to take 5 steps to get there, then this third step, I need to nail that down. I've got to nail down the third step. My question for you is in regards to where God is taking you, how many of you got that first goal down? Come on now, let's get real. 2018, how many of you got that first goal in place to say this step is going to be the first step to lead me on that path towards getting that vision that God gave me? After you set the goal, you have to execute. This is the hardest one. Come on now. Shando. Execution. This one I hate. The reason being is because one of my personal problems, which I share with the church, is I can be the king of procrastination. Procrastination. I think that's how you pronounce it. Got a lot of scholars in this room. Well, no, bro. Procrastination. And they pulled me up, you know, after the preach. Bro, you said it wrong. Procrastination. The P word. I can be the king at that. I know what I need to do, but for some reason I'm not doing it. Anybody know that feeling? And we've got some witnesses up in here. You know what you need to do, but there's an issue with pulling the trigger up. Like, I'm just not doing it. And then weeks turn into months. And months turns into half a year. When you get to half a year, it gets tough. You know, the thing is whatever you do consistently, you develop a habit. So the bottom line is if you're someone who continues to procrastinate and put it off consistently, then you get to a place where that becomes your habit. Procrastination is now your new habit. So that's where you will find that when you get given new things, you just don't pull the trigger. Why? Because you've changed now. You're a procrastinator. That's who you've become. So what you have to do is you have to start to form new habits. The habit that when you have given something, you do it whether you want to or not. That's why I started jogging. Because I was like voluntarily putting myself in a situation that I didn't want to do. And I told myself, you're going to do that. You're going to do it like 3 times a week. You're going to do it. You're going to have to run, bro. I was like, yo, and this hurts. You don't understand. It was pain. Every single time when I step on that treadmill, it is pain. And it's not like pain given. It's voluntary. Can you imagine? Giving yourself voluntary torture. That's what I'm doing. But I did it for a reason, because I needed to develop that part of my character. Another thing that I added to that, and this is the killer, it's cold showers. Shando, feel my pain. You know when you're going to step into a cold shower, the thought of doing it is horrifying. Horrifying. And then the first limb. The first body part. Everything shuts down. Body's like, no, bro. You are not doing this. But you see, the thing is, it's like that with the first step with your dreams. It's like that with the first step with your dreams. You can have the first step with your dreams, but for some reason, you're just paralyzed. I was speaking with my good friend Martin, and was talking about having something every day that we make ourselves do that we don't want to do. Every single day. Like, if that is your routine, that every single morning you do that, it starts to change how you are as an individual. You start to develop that area of your character. So you start executing things that you have to do, but you don't want to do. Because in order to get where it is that you're going, you're going to have to do some stuff that you don't want to do. The second point is consistency. You have to be consistent. You can hear a lot of people jumping up and excited about the dreams that they have, but then you ask them 6 months from now, you ask them 12 months from now, you ask them a year and a half from now, and that dream is just like dusted under some cobwebs. Like, bro, you told me about that thing. It's like, yeah, no, but. Got a new venture now. There has to be consistency. You have to develop that part of your character where you're able to get up and do it again. And get up and do it again. And get up and do it again. And I'm a person that likes starting things, but I don't like staying, remaining consistent on the thing. That's where it starts to hurt. But you've got to develop that part about your character where you can continually execute it daily. Joshua 2:24 says this. It says, "And they said to Joshua, 'Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us.'" Joshua came to a place where he got a report back, which was, "We're looking to inherit this land. And you've sent us out as spies. We checked out the land. And the report is that we are going to be successful. Let's do it." You have to get to a place where the vision that God gives you for your life, you have to start to assess how successful you're being. Measure the impact. You've got to be able to measure the impact. Whatever it is that you're doing in life, have you ever sat down to think about whether you're actually going in the right direction, if you're doing it right? Like, for example, you can be just living the normal day-to-day life, doing this and doing that, speaking to people about what it is that you want to do. But have you ever sat down to say, "I was saying that last year, I was saying that the year before, I was saying that the year before, I was saying..." Is anybody who's actually done that? Because I've done that. Come on now. We've got some honest people in here. Only a few. That you can say, it's funny as well, because you see our New Year's, that's where you see the New Year's resolutions. "This year, I'm getting fit." And you know the funny thing? Do you want me to tell you the funny thing? The funny thing about it is that when people do that, they say it like they never said it last year. That's what cracks me up the most. It's like brand new, do you know what I mean? Like brand new hashtag, getting fit. And there's a serious face and stuff. It's funny. That's why, for my regime that I put in place, I started doing it before the new year, because I knew if I went into January with it, I would have had a mindset that would have instantly just like, it would have had its challenges, because it's such a norm to start things and not finish it. So I thought, well, I'm gonna just start in like December. Let me just do it then. Let me just start jogging then. And I just started running and it's still hurting. But I triggered that for a purpose, for a reason. But you need to be able to measure your impact. You've got to look at what it is that you're doing in your life and say to yourself, am I actually reaching those goals? Am I actually getting there? Because if you're not getting there, then something needs to change. And that's the second point, which is reevaluate your goals. You have to reevaluate your goals. Once you've got it mapped out where you're going, where you've looked at the steps that you've put in place to actually get there, and now you've started to measure your impact and say, okay, am I actually being successful in what it is that I'm actually doing? Then you start to reevaluate your goals and you say, you know what? This goal needs to change just a little bit, maybe. Reevaluating your goals. You see, because when you have goals set like this, it really helps you in what you can say yes to and what you can say no to. Because I have the vision for my life and I have the goals that I have set, it makes it easier for me to say no to this. And you know, actually, in the last few months of my life, I've probably used no more than I've ever used it. But it's not just no for no's sake. It's not just no because I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. It's no because those things are not necessarily going to be taking me towards where it is that God's taking me. And that's a key thing in having your goals. Because if you don't have your goals and you don't have the vision for your life, then the problem with that is you find yourself just doing anything. You can be doing all things and ineffective at all. A jack of all trades and a master at none. Ooh, I don't want to be that Mr. Jack. I want to be the Mr. Master. Do you know what I'm saying? He wants to be Mr. Jack of all trades. I want to be master of what God has given me. As the worship team return, you see, last year was a great year because I believe that vision was expanded. I know that there was testimonies of God doing great things in people's lives. But this year, I believe that God really wants people to lay hold of what it is that he has for him on a whole new level. But I feel like we need to let go of the mindset that somehow it's going to happen just like that. It's going to take effort. And we need to put effort in 2018 if we're going to experience what it is that God has for us. I want everybody to start to think about their schedule daily. And start to think about, okay, what am I putting in place? If you're a person that says, you know what, I don't even have a vision. Well, that's great because that's your start point. If you don't have a vision, then what you need to do is you need to take time in your schedule to seek the Father for a vision. And when you pray consistently and you listen consistently, he's going to release it eventually. That's your first point. But for the person who has a vision but says, you know what, it's just feeling a little bit like there's no movement, then I want you to get really serious about looking at the steps for 2018. Let's not make this a year where it's full of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Should have done it, could have done it, would have done it. Let's not do that. Let's not play that game. Let's not return to Facebook at the end of 2018 declaring a New Year resolution as though we didn't do it last year. If I can ask you to stand this afternoon, the worship team's going to sing, lead us in worship, and we're going to open up the altars this afternoon. And the altars are going to be for people who, number one, say, you know what? I need to get a hold of a vision for my life. I need to hear from God. I need my direction. I don't want to just float around ever again. I don't want to do that. I don't want 2018 to be like that. But also as well, it's going to be for those that say, I've got a vision, but you know what? I heard what was preached today and I know that it's going to take effort, and I can testify that I've not put in what I need to put in. And I don't want to play games no more. I want to go to that place that God has for me. So just as the worship team worship, the altars are open, just come and find a place with God. And this is the place to say.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.